welcome to Steelers Today, and
we're not both shocked at the way our hair looks. Sticking straight up in your
head. That's what it looks like, yeah. It's windy up here on the Southwest Rotunda at Heinz Field. And as you can see over our heads, only the leaf blowers remain. Those are the guys that spray like the loose dirt particles.
Fixing the freshly resodded Heinz Field turf. They got a lot of work today.
Yeah, it definitely got a lot of work. There was it was an active, physical, busy back and forth game.
In other words, Steelers-Ravens game.
Yes,
yeah,
it
absolutely.
It was Steelers-Ravens, and at one point when it was 20-13 for Pittsburgh late, I'm thinking to myself, it has to come within 3 points. There's so few exceptions to that, just mathematically, not an opinion.
Yeah. Oh no, that's just the way these games go. At one point every game was decided that way. That's changed a little bit of late. The Steelers have now beaten them at least three in a row because they swept them last year. It was a different feeling after this game. I asked Cam Hayward after the game about the defensive line. And, like, you know, the guys coming out of here, they signed Montrevious Adams this week.
He showed up on Tuesday for work.
Yeah,
That's what Chris Wormley was just saying downstairs.
And comes out and starts and plays a good, solid football game.
Oh, he made an impact in the literal sense a couple of times.
As did Wormley.
Yeah.
I mean, they were active. And after what happened last week against the Bengals, the week before that against San Diego, the Chargers, this was needed. This was maybe quells the, hey, you guys aren't physical enough kind of stuff
have to see Tomlin's answer when I asked him to compare the physicality of his team in this game to last week in Cincinnati. Watch this.
You see more, Mike, of what you had hoped to see last week in Cincinnati, meaning the physical play
everything. I mean, anybody got a tough question?
Now, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you give that answer.
He had a great answer, too, when somebody asked him if T.J. Watt's going to play like this after not practicing all week, does that mean he'll no longer have to practice?
The answer was a hard no. And then he said, and there won't be music. So the mood down there, as you can tell from our reactions to it, the mood down there was as upbeat as you would want it to be. This is not a team that's quit. Dale, I think you and I can agree from being out there in Cincinnati that the single most disconcerting thing about what we saw was, I don't know if it was quit, but it sure wasn't max effort.
They were upset about the way the team responded to the challenge that Tomlin threw out there. This is a big game. You know, I'm treating this like I'm going to treat this one like we treated the first Browns game. And they went out there and dominated the Browns defensively.
In Cleveland.
And that didn't happen in that game. And I think that's where the shock came in. I think it was shock more than anything that had happened.
It was shock as well that I'm sure to the system of people here and on the South Side, whenever they hear something from the outside, from people like Dale or me, it doesn't affect them. Okay? When you say something, it doesn't affect them. No offense. When they hear it from Rocky freaking Blyer, and when they hear it from other alumni,
Ryan Clark and, you know, guys of that nature,
and they're talking about a Steelers culture, Steelers way, it made it through. And here's what Mike Tomlin had to say right near the end of something else he was talking about, as if he'd almost forgotten to say it, and he threw this in at the end.
Hopefully we made those Steeler alumni proud with our efforts tonight.
It means something. Maybe not as much to the younger guys on the roster, but I guarantee you it did to the Cam Haywards and so forth.
And, you know, this is the kind of game day on that builds that character, that builds that tradition, that builds that, you know.
It sustains it.
This was a gut check win.
It's Pittsburgh versus Baltimore.
Right.
And you could have come out here and pardon the reference here, but you could have wet your pants the way you did in Cincinnati.
This could have been 1998. This could have been 2008. This was 2021.
This was Steelers versus Ravens. Both teams ascended to the level of the rivalry that they're usually at.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself, even if Andrews had hung on to that two-point, we're going to get to that in the next segment. Even if Andrews had hung on to that ball and Baltimore wins, the Steelers had reasserted themselves.
They came out and played a hard-fought football game against a bitter division rival. they have the capability to play that way. You know, you saw the second half. They didn't have the ball much in offense in the first half. I think it was like 6 minutes. Baltimore played keep away. That's what they do. In the second half, the Steelers reversed it on them. They kept running the football. They kept establishing it. And you saw it pay off late
against
in the game.
Against all common sense at times.
It paid off late in the game. All of a sudden now, those 2 and 3 yard runs turned into 8 yard runs, 9 yard runs. Even Benny Snell running through the defense. It was impressive. I mean, you keep pounding away until it works. And all of a sudden you look at the end of it, and all of a sudden Najee Harris has 71 rushing yards. He had over 50 yards in the second half.
Yeah, and he had those 71 rushing yards on only 71 carries. When we come back, we're going to talk about the two-point conversion and how this ended. Welcome back to Steelers Today. I'm now hooded. This is like my Beavis Cornholio.
He's playing Bill Belichick today, his day on Kovacevic.
Here's what we have. The Ravens had a chance to tie the game with the world's best kicker. There's no question in anyone's mind that Justin Tucker would have put it through. It would have gone to overtime. And
I think he's missed one in his career.
And
one PAT in his career.
Yeah. And John Harbaugh instead said, now we're going to...
He said, no, you know what? Jim won a game this week, so he's looking pretty smart. I'm going to be the dumber Harbaugh brother today.
Oh, you know, but the thing is, Dale, the analytics do say...
The analytics be damned. You know what? You've got the best kicker in football. You've got a team that has taken games to overtime all season long.
And won.
The lone exception being in week one against the Raiders.
Yes. That kicker beat Detroit
On a 66-yarder. So essentially, every time you get across midfield, you're in field goal range.
Yeah.
You've got a quarterback who's the most elusive guy with the ball in his hands in the NFL. And if you win the toss, the game is 75% could be over.
It's weighted in your favor.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just,
it doesn't make any sense.
I just think that when your team does what the Ravens did, and they battled as well in this game, and then Lamar gets the ball with, 56 seconds left? And even though he got to 3rd and 10, he still ends up converting. And then they go boom, 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 right down the field. And it's like, what's going on here? And then there came all kinds of confusion.
Yeah.
Because the Ravens looked like they were going to go for it. And then listen to Cam Hayward describe this scene.
I was a little surprised because I ran off the field to begin with. we called a timeout, bought me an extra couple seconds.
Yeah, Cam didn't know that the Ravens were going to go for two, and you know he had jogged off the field. He ran, but he wasn't.
Did you see Tucker?
Yeah.
Tucker came onto the field and did that thing, you know, where they pick up the grass off the ground.
He does that stuff for show.
No,
yeah.
But they're all doing it. He was doing it just to look like, oh, yeah, Tucker's getting ready to kick, and no one was going to fall for this. Tomlin calls timeout, make sure he has the right
personnel
out there.
That's so he could get Cam back on the field.
And because Cam had come off, which would have been very bad.
Yes.
And then comes the actual play. This is the part that I have the problem with. If I'm John Harbaugh and I have decided that I'm going to put this entire game into one play, I want the ball to stay in eight's hands.
Well, I think that was the plan because he initially started towards the line of scrimmage, but T.J. Watt was screaming at him and, you know, he forced him to, okay, now I got to throw. And then he made the pass to the flat. I think that's why the pass was actually offline. Because,
yeah, that's what Chris Wormley was saying. Saying to us downstairs that he thought TJ came in and forced
Lamar to
alter his arm angle a little bit, and in the process that he misfired a little bit. To me, and I don't care how unpopular this sentiment is, I'm sorry that ball still could have been caught, and that's why I don't want it going to a tight end. Now, Andrews already had two drops in the game, but I want the person at the other end of that ball to be the most athletic, ambidextrous, amphibious, like he could do this underwater if he pulled this off. And I just don't know that the tight end was the right guy there.
I mean, he's their best guy, and maybe that's an indictment of the Ravens offense.
It's not a great receiving core, but
speaking,
why not Marquise Brown or whatever? I don't know.
How about Deontay Johnson today?
He was so good.
Drops
I'm glad you
dropped
brought
the touchdown
up.
Pass in the first half. comes
and
back.
Even and then, drop is rough. Yeah. I mean, it was a Willie Mays.
It would have been tough catch.
It was over.
But it's
his
one.
Head.
It's one that he definitely. I asked him about it. I said,
"Oh, you did?
Is that one that you'd like to have back? And what kind of just the growth that it showed from him." Remember last year when he started dropping the football?
Oh, dude,
he went through a stretch.
We were there
where
in
he
Orchard
couldn't catch
Park.
Anything.
We watched him get benched in Orchard Park. They had no choice but to pull him for a whole half.
And he comes back in this one and not only catches one touchdown pass, but then two. It was a big part of that touchdown drive. That's come back in the second half. He's a star. I know people are questioning that. I did the pregame show today with Tim Benz, and we were talking about it. I said, Deontay's a star.
Yeah, Deontay's a star. I think Deontay has the capability to be one if he can find the consistency and if the Steelers can find the plays.
He's been pretty damn consistent this year.
Yeah, the Steelers can find the plays for him.
Yeah.
Okay, that's which is out of his control in fairness here. I do have to say that I don't want to keep throwing all this back on Baltimore here, but if you're Baltimore, why wouldn't you have had Marlon Humphrey follow him?
They did at times. They like when the Steelers would go three receivers. Humphrey's got to be their slot guy.
Yes.
And so the Steelers forced their hand with that to a large degree.
By putting three out there, even if the other two or the third was not going to be a threat.
Yeah, if it's Ray McLeod or if it's James Washington, they put him in the slot and say, okay, take your best guy and put him on our third best receiver.
Yeah. Hey, the club is 6-5-1. They are as we are heading to Minneapolis to face a Vikings team that just lost to the Lions, which is
it's a heck of a game on Thursday night. The team that tied the Lions against the team that actually lost to them.
I'm not making fun of the Lions anymore. I'm done with that. They played that every game.
They play hard.
Looked like that.
They play hard.
Anyway, we'll talk to you from Minneapolis.